Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Fairbanks cyclist Tyson Flaherty is leading the Iditarod Trail Invitational human-powered race. Satellite tracking shows Flaherty on the final stretch of trail in the 350-mile race to McGrath, which started Sunday in Kinnick. According to an ITI post, Flaherty is threatening to break the record of 1 day, 18 hours. Jay Peterberry, a past ITI champion from Idaho, is more than 10 miles back of Flaherty in second place. 49 racers, mostly cyclists and runners, with a couple of skiers, are on the roster for the 350-mile race. Another 16 competitors are signed up to keep going all the way to Nome. Fairbanks City Council has approved a non-discrimination ordinance. Meeting last night, the panel passed the law, which prohibits discrimination against LGBTQ people in housing, employment, and at businesses. As KUAC's Robin reports, the council's action followed abundant public comment for and against the measure.
About 200 people lined up in the hallway of the council chambers to testify at last night's public hearing on Ordinance 6093. About 40 got the chance. Many were concerned about religious rights or burdens on employers. Here are Christine Roberts, Dan Henry, and Pat Moss.
This is the worst anti-religious ordinance ever written in Fairbanks history.
Sometimes minority groups need special rights to help lift them up in our society and have equal opportunities.
As a Christian, I try to live the golden rule, and I do unto others what I would have others do unto me. I don't think giving additional rights to one group by violating the rights of another is the answer.
Reverend Leslie Fales and Hayden Neville spoke in favor of the ordinance.
Churches and religious institutions are already free to make sacramental decisions on who they marry, who they accept as members, ministers, and so on, based on their beliefs, and this resolution does not change it.
LGBT Fairbanksans, in their giving testimony and in their sharing their personal stories, have been made fun of, we've been accused of terrible things, and we've been threatened with physical violence.
The ordinance was introduced in December and was a simple mirror of state and federal civil rights law with clauses about race, color, age, religion, sex, family status, and sexual orientation. But it became larger when stakeholder groups and churches took over public comment about transgender rights. After a 3-hour public hearing on December 10th, the council postponed the ordinance. In January and February, the council held 8 separate work sessions to talk with employee relations, housing, and legal experts. To quell fears of religious activists, the council worked up clauses to exempt churches and religious organizations. At Monday night's meeting, 2 proposed amendments were combined, and the council voted 5-1 to add the exception. Council member Shoshana Kuhn objected.
And I'll make it known, I am the one who has asked for all of religious stuff out. So I'm compromising in having this discussion, and that is the spirit of Fairbanks, right?
Another sticking point not resolved at the work sessions was how large an employer might be to exempt from the law. The original ordinance would allow businesses with 15 or fewer workers to discriminate. In citizen testimony, Josh Dwyer said changing that would hurt small businesses.
I'm opposed to any changes under the definition of employer, changing it from 15 to 4 or 1.
Councilmember David Prues says he would not approve the ordinance unless the number stayed at 15 or fewer employees.
This is the big one for me. This is the big one. This is whether I'm in or out. I'm be very honest.
Prue says he was ready to vote on that employer with 15 workers exemption back at the December 10th meeting and asked Councilmember Catherine Otterston what had changed since then.
And then we gathered letters and letters. We have received from people statements that they lost their jobs. And they lost their jobs from smaller than 15 employers.
The council settled on the number of 4 employees as the size of businesses that would be exempt from the law. Prues voted with the majority on that amendment. Councilmember Jerry Cleworth did not. And when it came to vote on the ordinance as a whole, David Prues and Jerry Cleworth both dissented. The ordinance passed 4-2. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
A Fairbanks nonprofit was siphoned of funds through an online scam. Fairbanks Cycle Club President Rachel Kavopel says her email was mimicked to request wire transfers totaling $17,000 from club treasurer Ken Smith.
I mean, I was pretty much like sick to my stomach when I was talking to him and practically in tears because I have now realized what is going on, that we have definitely been scammed for money. He's totally innocent in this. He legitimately thought that they were for real.
Kavopel says the losses occurred a year ago during a period of time when Smith was not in regular contact with her or cycle club officers due to health problems.
So that was probably part of the process, is that when you're in pain management, you know, you're just trying to deal with the pain on top of everything else of daily living.
Kavopal says Smith subsequently resigned due to health issues, but worked with club officials last year to try to unravel the scam and recover funds.
And in the end, we were able to work, I think, with Citicorp and maybe Bank of America, and we got $3,000 of the $17,000-plus dollars that were missing.
Kavopal says the experience spawned changes in how the club does business, including a ban on wire transfers. Kavopal says the club has about 200 members and expenses, including insurance, race and event staging, and trail building.
Now we cannot fund projects as easily as we would have liked to, and we can't take hits, big hits on expensive races.
Kavopal says she's a business person and pretty tech savvy, and the experience has resulted in her being even more vigilant about online scams. I'm Dan Bross.